Hey guys, welcome to Practical Biz Podcast, where we are here to educate, motivate, and celebrate your entrepreneurial journey. I'm your host, Erica Sicoccio, Customer Acquisition and Retention Specialist. With 23 years in the trust and people building business, Practical Biz is here to help entrepreneurs from startup to the most seasoned business owner with leveled tips, stories, and strategies to increase your sales, create brand loyalty while making a positive impact in your community. Hey guys, Erica Sicoccio here with Stella Business Concepts. And today I want to talk a little bit about why vendor relationships are so important. As a business coach, I work with many businesses that either sell retail or create their own products to either sell wholesale, retail, or direct to consumer. So why are relationships so important? Well, they can impact your business both positively and negatively, depending on how that relationship goes. So let's talk about what is a vendor relationship. Well, a vendor relationship is a mutual, respectful relationship between a buyer and a supplier who work together, typically having the same goals in mind. Whether it is to meet the needs of the customer, provide a quality product, service, or experience, while making a profit, accomplishing goals, and of course, having a sense of trust. So the first thing I want you to consider is number one, I want you to understand each other. So as a retailer, you want to understand the products that you're selling and to make sure that the products meet your brand, your company values, have just a overall sense of fitting into your retail space. As a wholesaler, you also want to make sure that you have similar values and goals that work together. Think about sharing what you have in store for your business over the next year. What new products will you market? What special events will you have? What discount offers will be available? And even the opportunity to make limited or exclusive items straight for that one business. From the retail aspect, you want to make sure when you're selecting items from a vendor that you look back on your marketing plan and think about who your customer is, what the price point is, that you typically sell for your brand, and do the products make sense? Because you can like a product as a person like that you want to use for your personal home, but it may not always be something that makes sense in your space for your target market. The other thing from a wholesaler perspective, I want you to think about as you get a better understanding of the other small businesses that you're working with, your packaging, how are they going to display it in their store, and the creation of new items that you can be a part of to meet their needs. So if you know a business is going to be expanding in the next year, you want to think about how you can be part of that and be their vendor for that expansion. So tip number two, set clear goals and expectations. This will also help with consistency as you move along working with multiple vendors and retailers. It will make your life a lot easier. So ask for a contract, no matter who it is that you're working with. Make sure that you have at minimal the details of how long you anticipate to sell the items, whether you're going to bring it in for 6 months, see how it does, and then go from there. So if you're going to do it as a trial, what the price point is from both the wholesale, what the wholesale price is, and then what the suggested retail is. Also, the way that you want the items displayed. So if you are a wholesaler, do you want your items displayed and your brand displayed all different ways depending on what store it's in? And most small business owners care. Now, again, keep in mind, this video is specifically for small mom and pop shops and small businesses that are working with, 10, well, maybe even one, but one to like 20 retailers tops. Think about the payment terms. So there's many different options. Certainly there's credit, there's consignment. So when you're first starting out, some of you are going into the consignment space. And what does that mean? So it looks like you typically will rent a a space, a shelf from somebody who has a brick and mortar store, and they take a portion of the sales, and you get a portion of the sales on top of the fees that you're paying to rent from them. There is also many small businesses will just purchase outright. They'll buy the minimum amount to get the wholesale price, and then they'll just continue to make purchases based on how frequently they turn over those items. As you start to get bigger and better sales, you may want to think about offering a 30 or 60 or 90 day, I would say small business, probably 30 or 60 day terms of credit with your retailer, and think about like, what does that look like for your cash flow? How does that tie up your products? And again, having a good relationship that could be positive or negative, but again, you can put that in your contract for the first, 3 months, you're going to just do a 30 day purchase order with them. At the end of the 30 days, they're going to pay you for the products, and then they can reorder what they need for the next 30 days. All terms have to be in writing. So have you ever thought of putting together a welcome packet from either side? So if you're a vendor and you're selling wholesale, have you put together a welcome packet? Does the welcome packet show your business in the best light? Are there professional product photos in that? Do you have professional headshots of you and your team in that welcome packet? I would say that that makes a lot of sense and puts you in a position where you will be taken more seriously. So maybe it looks like in your welcome packet, there's a photo of the owner or creator. Then there is a photo of the person in your billing department with a phone number and email. And then maybe there is a headshot of the person who makes the deliveries to the stores or brings the product from the warehouse to the vendors or retailers, depending on what kind of business you have, right? So are you doing that? Do you have that in place? If you don't, that might be something you want to seriously consider. What items are purchased in your first initial agreement should be in that welcome packet, along with the pricing of the wholesale price and the retail price. Now, as you start to gain more stores and more traction and start to really bulk up your sales, you might want to consider what the pricing would be if you purchase 20 items at retail, if you purchase 50 items at retail, or 100 or more. Obviously, the more that you purchase from a retail side, the better price that you want to have. And from a wholesale side, you have to understand in that relationship, they're going to want a better price if they're selling more of your product. So think about that when you're putting together your contracts. Number three, cross-promote each other. Because if your retailers do well, your wholesaler is going to do well, and vice versa. So from the retail side, I would say promote on social media, promote on your website, promote in your print, promote through your networks when you are networking at different networking events, promote through testimonials, promote through letters. On the wholesale side, ask for referral letters. If you're doing really great with a retailer and they're moving a lot of your product, you might want to ask them to give you a referral letter that you can include when you are sending out intro packets to new retailers. Promote that these different vendors sell your items. So if you want to purchase something locally, let's say I sell honey and my honey is now available in 3 stores across Rhode Island, you want to promote that on your website. You want to promote that through your social media. Also at trade fairs, it makes a lot of sense if you're doing a trade show that's maybe a little further away from where you may be centrally located, to let them know about places that they can get your products locally. Also ask if you are at a trade show, if some of your retail folks would come and speak on your behalf at the events. And it really does help because they're real customers, they're real people that you do business with, and that can draw so much sales for you. So don't be afraid to ask a retailer if you're a wholesaler, could they come out to a trade show with you? Again, you all will benefit if you build each other's brand, especially in the small business space. We have to work together. Number four, another way is product creation and feedback. Talk with your retailers or wholesalers as often as possible, but I would say at a minimum quarterly. See what is selling and see what isn't, and maybe consider what changes might need to be made. Consider helping share strategies with each other. I can say from my standpoint, when I walk into a small business, I can very quickly give feedback on packaging, display, the messaging, consistency, branding right away. And I feel that if wholesalers listen to the retailers who have many different products in this store and can offer you data as to what's selling, what isn't, you should take that feedback and see how you can improve. The same thing goes for retail. So you may have a wholesaler who has items in your store that are not selling, but they may have several other locations that are selling their items very quickly and turning over 3, 4, 5 times quicker than you. So maybe you can reach out to them to find out what strategies these other places are using and see if there's something that you can incorporate in your business. And consider, who is the market? Did you do a good match at the beginning? So if you are a mid-price store and you bring something that's in very high end with a very high price point, that probably isn't going to turn very much in your space. So think about, what is the price point that you're selling typically in your space, and does it, you know, how does it fit in your place? So I would say this is where being a small business has its advantages, where you can get that direct feedback from both sides. The next tip is, don't put all your eggs in one basket, and don't be afraid to have options. Don't be afraid to sell more than one vendor. You don't have to do exclusives. You can sell 2, 3, 4 different kinds of candles, or 2, 3, 4 different types of honey, or, you know, any of those types of products. You can sell multiple different kinds. And if you think about gift shops, especially when you go to tourist places, they certainly have more than one jewelry company or one candy company in their space. And then it also gives your consumers different choices. And then as a retailer, you will be able to see what turns over quickly and what doesn't, and then it helps you make better business decisions. Sometimes we have vendors that we really, really like, and their stuff isn't moving in our store. You may be the person who can really help them figure out why it's not moving and help them increase their sales. And sometimes it may not be in your space because it might not be the right fit, but as much feedback as you can give them really does, again, help with building trust and mutual respectful relationships. Listen and ask questions is my next tip. Get to know their team. Get to know, who do you call when you have to place an order? Who accepts the orders over the phone or the internet, or who are you emailing? Who sells or displays the items? Who do you call if there's an issue? Who is your contact for payment? Especially if you're on the wholesale side, right? It's not always the same person that you brought the products to. And understand the process from both the retail side and the wholesale side, and that will give you a better sense of the way that that relationship will move forward and whether it's fruitful for both of you. So I'm going to give you a couple tips that you can start right now to improve your vendor relationships. Number one, contact your vendors or retailers if you haven't spoken to them in the last quarter. Make sure that you frequently see them at least 4 times a year. Hopefully more, because if your products are moving more, you're going to have much more conversation. Number two, make an appointment to find out about new products or services that are coming up for the upcoming year as we're heading quickly towards January. What plans does the retailer have? What plans does the wholesaler have? Do they have plans on expansion? Do they have plans on getting rid of some of their items? And if they're items that you sell, you might want to know that ahead of time, so you can either replace those or find a new vendor who has something different, unique that can take that space. Or are they coming out with a new product to fill that void? Ask and share about anticipated price changes, any additional service fees that may be coming up, or any changes in your timeline in terms of delivery. So that way both sides can prepare. The worst thing is if the price is this, and that's what you agreed on, and then your cost went up, which typically happens, give somebody time to make the price adjustments or time to either decide whether they're going to move forward with that item or not. Nobody likes surprises, and it certainly doesn't build trust. So even if it ends up being where you're not able to service that person any longer, at least you leave with a good relationship and possibly continued referrals. Here's something I think that many of you don't think about is think about videos. What new videos can you put together or marketing materials that the vendor can put together to provide to retailers that can help increase sales for both? And if you don't have any, I would say make sure you put some together. You want to have even a short clip on how to use your product, why that product is great for the customer, and it's something that maybe your retailer can share on their website or in store if they have one of those TVs that show different videos or different clips. Again, it's just going to help boost your sales. If for some reason you are a retailer and your wholesaler doesn't have anything like that and refuses to put anything like that together, you may want to create your own specifically for your business with your brand, why you selected those products. Ask if there's training or any how-tos or any knowledge that can be shared with your sales force. So if you're a retailer and you have 6 or 7 people who work in your space, are they all trained the same? Do they all have the same product knowledge? And if they don't, that might be something you might want to consider to put together for your sales force, because that will only help you increase your sales. From a wholesale point, if you can put something together that has key points that you want all of your sales team, no matter what store they're selling at, to share with customers who come into the store, then it's your responsibility to put that together. And again, this is an investment in your business that will help you gain more retailers to bring in your products and secure those relationships. And think about if you're not doing that and your competitor is, they have a huge advantage over you. So today we covered these 7 key points. 1, understand each other. 2, set clear expectations. 3, all terms should be in writing. 4, cross promote each other. 5, use an opportunity for feedback and new product creation. 6, keep your options open and don't put all your eggs in one basket. 7, listen and ask for questions.
Hey, thank you for tuning in. It's Erica Sicoccio with Stella Business Concepts. We are a business coaching and consulting team providing business owners with the tools, advice, and strategy they need to grow and expand their business. Thank you for tuning in to Practical Biz Podcast.